The God we trust is on a dollar. That's the only dude they're talking about.
Every day is a struggle, how to hustle some dough. If you was raised in the hood, well, then you already know. It be days, it be good, but mostly money be slow. Have you ever been hungry before?
You know, how many of us who are fortunate to have a meal when we're an hour or two late on our expected dinner just blithely use the phrase, oh gee, I'm really hungry. And for us to be able to use that casually, and then for others to question people who make the humiliating, difficult choice of coming to a soup kitchen or food pantry, I'll let you choose to decide whether the word hunger aptly applies or not.
Thanksgiving is the holiday when food is thought of the most. Food is a central theme as many Americans gather with loved ones to eat and give thanks. For anti-hunger advocates, Thanksgiving is also a key time to draw attention to hunger issues in America. Susanna Pasquantonio of the Hunger Action Network of New York State describes why.
This is really the time when citizens and legislators and the general public pays attention to hunger. We would love it if they would pay attention to hunger the other 364 days a year, but this is really the time when we want to organize people to call for an end, because people are reflecting while they're eating their Thanksgiving meal about how much they have.
The Hunger Action of New York State organizes an annual Thanksgiving action against hunger.
The event kicked off yesterday on Monday, and basically anti-hunger advocates, students, politicians, and regular citizens were getting together to call for an end to hunger. And this was accomplished through food drives, through legislative volunteer days at soup kitchens. Many organizations organized petitions to send to legislators calling for an end to hunger. And also just organized community meals so that people could come together on a community level in protest, and also to provide a place for people to go to that couldn't have the type of Thanksgiving meal that we would normally like to have.
This past week, Tuesday, the New York City Coalition Against Hunger held a press conference releasing its annual New York City Hunger Survey. The director, Joel Berg, summarizes.
We are releasing today the most comprehensive annual survey of hunger in New York City. We compile it by sending a lengthy questionnaire to all the more than 1,000 soup kitchens and food pantries in New York City. This year, we received 254 responses, our highest response rate on record. We have found, unfortunately, that at the more than 1,000 food pantries and soup kitchens in New York City, demand has continued to skyrocket faster than their ability to meet the demand, forcing a record number of agencies to either close entirely or ration food by turning away hungry New Yorkers, reducing portion size, or cutting hours of operation. Our report is entitled No Recovery for the Hungry. Now, a lot of people chart the increase since September 11th, but we went back further to point out that the biggest boost started in the recession of 2001, even before that, even when the economy was great, wages just weren't keeping up with expenses, and even in the better economy, more and more people were going to soup kitchens and food pantries.
The press conference was held at the Yorkville Common Pantry, located in East Harlem. Like many soup kitchens and food pantries throughout New York City, the Yorkville Common Pantry struggles to meet an increase in demand. The executive director also spoke at the press conference.
Despite the fact that the Yorkville Common Pantry is the largest neighborhood-based provider of emergency food in New York City, distributing over 1 million meals each year, we are falling short. Demand is outstripping our ability to serve people. And I'm looking back like Joel 3 years ago as opposed to just 9/11. We were distributing 200 to 250 families receive groceries every Thursday morning. In recent weeks, we have 400 families coming by 9:30 in the morning on Thursday mornings for food. We're turning away anywhere from 50 to 75 people on Thursday mornings, and we think this is totally unacceptable.
Despite the challenges that emergency food pantries face in meeting the increased need for food in their communities, all over New York City and at the Yorkville Common Pantry, those in need were provided Thanksgiving meals they might not have otherwise received. We spoke with several of the staff members and volunteers there.
Between yesterday and today, we will have given out 577 turkeys and Thanksgiving meals with all the trimmings.
We had like everything that we will think that a client would need to prepare a Thanksgiving dinner, like pies and, you know, sweet potato, turkey, You name it, and they had it in the bag.
Yeah, I think it's unfortunate that so many people have to be lying out there in need in the time of Thanksgiving, you know, but it's fortunate that, you know, the pantry is here to give a hand, you know.
And if you don't have a meal, then it's really not Thanksgiving.
We also spoke with people waiting on the pantry line.
This is about my third time, well, that's come here. The reason I'm standing out here because I'm in need of food for Thanksgiving. I have three children. So I'm freezing here, dealing with the stress, patiently waiting here.
You will find a variety of people at emergency food programs. Increasingly, working families are relying on pantries to supplement their income.
That's more or less of my situation, especially at the end of the month is when things get shorter at home.
Do you think that the government is thinking about the people that are on this line?
Well, quite actually, I don't think so. It's all more for those that have. They don't think about the majority of us. It's a shame, but it's true.
While food stamps are meant to supplement and help those in need have access to food, there are many barriers.
I'm disabled. I have a chronic disorder that they cannot cure, nor can they treat. The only thing they can do for it is give me pain medication. The numbers are growing. People are hungry. They don't have food for people. Just because I am disabled, or even if I'm not disabled, that people should have to stand in line to get leftovers. Now, the United States is one of the wealthiest countries there is, you know, and for to have a line as long as this, for people that don't have food, there's no word that describes. And this standing in line, I'm going to tell you what it does to you. It takes your pride. It makes you feel small. I'm disabled, they give you this little money for the last amount. They were sending me $10, and then they send you this large booklet to fill out. Every time I sent it back, they said they didn't get it. So I don't get in the food stamp. Because I said to hell with them. I was tired. I sent it twice, and after that, I didn't send it no more. So I don't get in the food stamp. But it makes you feel small. And I'm talking about because I'm getting pissed.
The New York Newsday reported that city workers continue to turn away eligible applicants for food stamps, and those who are receiving food stamps often are not receiving enough.
Well, I think there's a lot of poverty now going on, not a lot of jobs. Welfare is not helping the clients the way they're supposed to be helping. They are not getting, I think, the right amount of food stamps, and that's why they turn to places like, you know, YCP, because they don't have no place to turn to. There's some clients that they are getting ridiculous amount of money for food stamp, like $7, $10. What is a client going to buy with $10, you know? So I think we provide them for like around 3 to 4 days of, you know, food supplies when they come on Thursday, so that we help them get through those hard days.
Emergency food programs are picking up the slack for the failure of a government safety net. Amjad Mujahid does benefit outreach for the New York City Coalition Against Hunger and describes his work.
My program is providing information and outreach, food stamp pre-screening, to over 1,000 food pantries, soup kitchens in the five boroughs from New York City. Only 20% of benefit outreach is done citywide. And what we're trying to do is increase the awareness, the understanding, and the empowerment of New Yorkers about their rights towards public benefits, where they can go to apply, and how and what benefits are available to them. Many people in New York City are eligible. 800,000 people are eligible for food stamps, but very few are receiving the benefit. So our job at the coalition in terms of benefit outreach is to increase the number of people who understand about the benefit and actually getting it, so that they can feed their families.
They continue telling the media and the city council and others that food stamps participation in New York City has increased by 33% in the 19 months of the Bloomberg administration. That's not true. It's demonstrably not true. Go to the New York City website, go to HRA, go to HRA Facts, and you will see there has been a 14% increase. And while 14% over the last 9 months has been good, we again point out that we continue to lag behind the rest of the state and the rest of the nation in food stamps participation. Hunger and poverty in New York City are not natural, inescapable, permanent parts of the landscape. They are created by economic and political policies, and they can be solved by economic and political policy. We are proposing a 3-point plan to make New York City hunger-free. One, increase use of the safety net. Not only food stamps, but the WIC program, school breakfast, school lunch, summer meals for kids, and the earned income tax credit. Right now in New York City, over $500 million of tax benefits for low-income working families are going unused. Two, raise wages. The minimum wage in New York State and nationwide is $5.15 an hour, equaling less than 10 grand a year. The United States Congress recently raised its own pay from $152,000 a year to $158,000 a year. And lastly, we're calling for a real rethinking of poverty policy to promote assets, to help people move off of the poverty treadmill, to be able to learn, earn, grow, work, and save their way out of poverty, or as we put it, moving from owing to owning.
I mean, if you think about it, if malnutrition, somebody was asking me about the difference between hunger and malnutrition and food insecurity, they're all interrelated. And if children don't have a good breakfast, if children don't get a balanced diet, they can't concentrate in school, and it causes the problems just escalate. And it's the same thing for adults. If you're hungry, how can you look for a job? How can you concentrate on this, that, and the other? Or if you haven't had, you know, a good nutritious meal.
We really have a lot of more work to do to educate people and make them realize that it's not just somebody else's problem. And that's sort of our message, that this is a global problem, this is a national problem, and we need to come together if we're really going to end hunger in New York.
We always point out that on the holiday season, it is critical for concerned New Yorkers to donate to important organizations like the New York City Coalition Against Hunger, like City Harvest, like the Food Bank for New York City, like Yorkville Common Pantry, like all the wonderful groups working on this issue. But we also ask people to take 5 minutes to contact their elected officials and understand that in that 5 minutes, they can make more of a difference than weeks of volunteering around the holidays at pantries and kitchens. Now, I will say, no, we do not have hunger in America the same way we might in Ethiopia or North Korea or parts of Latin America. There are not people starving in the street. Why? Number one, because we do have a federal nutrition safety net, which has been reduced but still there. And two, we do have this incredible network of food banks, food rescue organizations, and soup kitchens and food pantries that prevent people from starving. That being said, in the richest city in the planet, to have more than 100,000 people, when they finally go to charitable food, not to be able to get it, really is a crisis that needs to be addressed.
For Rise Up Radio, I'm Saki with Jackson Ellers.
Down for manual labor, revolutionary hustler, fundraiser. Catch me doing outreach, see me running the streets. Politically educated, but never graduated. Call me Doc, like Matul Shakur. Fight for the poor. Have you ever been hungry before? Nigga, for sure. Mommy got a job making about six something an hour. She became the breadwinner when daddy was unemployed. Working 40 plus hours and kissing ass. Seeming like the only honest way she can get some cash. She's struggling, they don't know why. I be hustling, pulling my own weight. I be hearing them fussing, fighting at night. Mad late over economics is logic, meaning they don't got it. Living in the projects, money the only object. She make $280 a week, standing on her feet. The ends ain't even meeting, the family ain't eating, and the taxes is 10%. The rest is for the rent. The crime is what you get, and niggas is innocent. See, it really ain't about if you eating or not eating. It's freedom or not freedom, breathing or not breathing. Never day, never way, never dollar spent. Gotta make a revolution out of 15 cents.